to go out with your brother. And so we're standing there, we're walking, he's regretting ever walking in here again. And we're walking, and on this ice, nice gingerly light, you know, and all of a sudden, it cracks under him. And you know what he does? He grabs hold of me. So it starts cracking under me. Get off! Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. You think you're standing, but if you're walking the Christian life presumptuously as if God will just love you as you are no matter what you do, then you're just walking on thin ice. And you don't realize how dangerous it is. That's the problem. We were talking in our men's class this morning. Paul wrote at the end of his life, 2 Timothy, says, I fought the good fight. Do you know that the Christian life is a fight? It's a fight. You were fighting, whether you realize it or not, when you woke up this morning to get out of bed, to get into the shower, to get dressed, and to get here. That's a part of the battle. It's the day-to-day, the ordinary, the mundane, little things. You're going to work, dealing with your boss, dealing with your employee, dealing with your neighbor, dealing with your stinky kid. All of it's part of the battle. All of it's part of the fight. The idea that there's a fight indicates that there is an opponent. There's an adversary. But so often we live the Christian life forgetting that we're in a fight at all. And my little decisions here, my choices there, the way that I think here, and it's not a part of the fight when it is. And then all of a sudden we're walking on thin ice because we were a little careless here and we were a little presumptuous there. We forgot to be thankful here and we're letting that attitude get out of hand. And we allowed this relationship kind of sour and all of a sudden none of that really matters because, well, God loves me. Paul is saying, do not think that. Do not be deceived. Do not be fooled. We are called to be a part of the kingdom of God. And his kingdom has come as a light piercing the kingdom of darkness. How many remember? You can go back. You can remember when your eyes were opened. Don't raise your hand. You remember that? I mean, everybody's experienced a little different, but he's faithful. You remember that? All of a sudden, it's like scales. Boom. Fell off your eyes, and all of a sudden, you saw for the first time. All of a sudden, there was illumination, understanding. It's called light. It's called God's light shining in your mind. Shining in your heart. Listen, he's basically saying this. In James chapter 2, it says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. He's basically saying, listen, faith with no power over uncleanness, over fornication, over idolatry, over covetousness, a faith. What kind of faith is that? What kind of faith is that? A faith that has no power over sin. Right? Amen or amen? What kind of faith is that? James says, no faith at all. The idea that you can enter the kingdom of Christ and still be the same sinner as you were is a contradiction of what the kingdom of God and the gospel stands for. Listen to what Peter wrote. This is 1 Peter chapter 4. We have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. That's just kind of representative of the world, okay? When we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries, in regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Basically saying, listen, that your world, those around you, those that maybe you used to know, your friends, should wonder why there is a change. Why do you see these things differently? What happened? What happened? But 1 saved. Saying again, that's what you were. You were once, what's the word? Say it like you mean it.
Dark.
You were once darkness. But now, you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You see, the wonderful truth is that we are no longer, if we are in Christ, we are no longer in darkness. Darkness is not what defines us. It's not what is our identity. We are no longer in the darkness of sin or ignorance or separation or condemnation. That is not who we are. There is a change within us, a moral change, a spiritual change. But what does it mean to walk in the light? Well, it goes on in verse 10, walk as children of light, finding out what is acceptable in the Lord, or to the Lord. What is acceptable to the Lord? So, I like this. I like the practical side of these things. What does it look like for me to walk in the light? Find out what makes God happy, right? Find out what puts a smile on God's face. What is acceptable to the Lord? I mean, some of you know what makes me happy. What makes me happy?
Chocolate chip cookies.
What'd you say?
Chocolate chip cookies.
I mean, I can't get a grin off my face, and kind of working that angle, but what puts a smile on my face? What puts a smile on God's face? His kids living for His glory. His kids making much of Him. I mean, think about it. As your parents, what blesses you, or your spouses, what blesses you when they get you, when they understand how you tick, when they know what you know what? Maybe guys, for you, it's doing the laundry. That's a blessing to your wife, maybe. Or maybe making dinner once in a while, but doing the dishes. For me, it's starting when my boys take over and clean the kitchen. That's one of the ways that they. You have kids that do that yet? Not yet. That's one day, hopefully they'll get there and actually show you that they love you. My kids love me. They do the dishes. What's acceptable to the Lord? What's pleasing to the Lord? But furthermore, it's to walk in the light, is to bear fruit, verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. You see, whether we're walking in the light or whether we're walking in the darkness, we're bearing fruit. Because it goes on later, he says, talks about the unfruitful works of darkness. In other words, there's different kinds of fruit depending on whether you're in the light or you're in the dark. But it's going to bear fruit. Let's go to the next scripture. I think this passage tells us something about the calling and the mission of the church, what the church is supposed to be in this world. Verse 11 through 13 says, and have no fellowship, there's that word again, fellowship, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. What does light do? Light exposes. The word means to convict, means to reprove, to show. So light exposes the true nature of something. Light reveals something of what it truly is. The word manifest in our passage, it means to make visible something that was hidden. Several years ago, my wife, if you know my wife, she's always been into, like vitamins and things like that, and herbs, and got a pantry full of herb jars. I still don't know what some of that is. I can't pronounce all of it. But she had, the kids were getting what's called these pills. They were krill pills. Anybody hear of krill?
Yeah.
It's what whales eat. And that's what my kids were eating, or having a pill, that's what they were having to take. And honestly, you know, I'm glad that my wife didn't force feed them to me, but my kids had to take them. Well, one day, I don't know if it was myself or Joseph, had gone outside to the dog kennel where the dogs are fed and found some krill pills. Like in the dog food. I guess he thought maybe they needed it more than he did. And so again, so he attempted to hide something, but you know the truth. It's always going to be found out. We're just not that smart. Okay? Look in the mirror. You're not that smart. You can't get away with it. Right? That's what light does. It exposes, it reveals, it makes manifest what is hidden. Remember Wizard of Oz? Remember that? I know. Wizard of Oz, the curtain gets pulled by the dog, I think. Toto. It reveals that he reveals the scam that's going on. See, light can be a blessing, but it can also be a curse. Jesus said this is the condemnation, John 3, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness more than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made, may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. And here's the challenge, I guess, for us when we think about being in the light, walking in the light, being the light, is that the Christian life, if the Christian life is about being light, then the Christian life is a rebuke to the world. It's inescapable. I know we all want to get along, we all want to make friends, and we don't like to be hated. But your presence as a Christian in this world is a rebuke to this world. Get over it. Right? Accept it. That's a part of it. That's what's happening. We're being ridiculed into silence, so we'll shut up. Stop shining the light, because why? It's offensive. Who's the new offenders today? We are. Why? Because we shine the light. Our very presence shines light into the world. Our beliefs, our faith is a rebuke to the darkness. It's inescapable. It's inevitable. It's unavoidable. That's the call of the people of God. We're called to walk in the light. Amen? So get used to offending. No, I believe that there's a way to do it, and we need to do it in wisdom. And we'll walk circumspectly, wisely. It's going to say later in this passage. You know, don't be a bull in a china closet if you don't have to. Soft word turns away wrath, right? But they need to hear your words, and they need to see your life, and they need to see light. You wondering what God's purpose for you is? It's to do this or do that. It's to be light. Regardless of what you're doing as an occupation, it's to be light in the world. That's what God's calling us to do. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Isn't that interesting? It's like God has entrusted us with something. He has put his light in us. Right? He's given us his flashlight. Go into the tunnels and find those in the dark and show them the way out. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So here's one of the challenges I think we're facing also, is that the light shines in the darkness, exposing what is done in the darkness. As you know, one of the problems that we're dealing with today in our culture is that what has been done in the darkness is now done in the light, right? There are things that were considered maybe taboo or unacceptable in days gone by, but now are accepted and are increasingly becoming part of the norm, right? It's to be accepted, right? And so they're done in the light. Broad daylight, so to speak. Maybe you heard about this. I thought this was kind of an interesting moment in my work week. And I was down in my office, and I watched a police, OMAC PD, drive up rather quickly. No lights on yet, but they're driving up. They're just down below here, Mackey Drive. And so from my vantage point, I could, the building below you can't see, but I can see the road, like where the laundromat is, and I can see the road over here, like say, over the car dealership. And so I just go to kind of watch the car to see what's going on. I'm just kind of curious. And I'm looking out the window, and I see, I'm like, is that what I think it is? It's a naked man running in broad daylight in the middle of the street. Really? I mean, burned my eyes out, but that's what I'm seeing. There's a naked guy just running right down the street. I mean, obviously, I'm finding this rather humorous. I probably shouldn't. And I'm feeling bad for the police officer, because there's a couple of them now, and they're kind of following him. And I'm like, man, I wouldn't want to be on the police force today. Glad it was my day off. I have to clean that car up afterward, I guess. But anyway, I felt bad. You know, it doesn't matter. I probably shouldn't say anything. I got law enforcement in the room, so. But anyway, just to see this naked guy have to be dragged by an officer and cuffed, and I don't know, I'd be putting the air conditioner on in the car, making it real comfortable for this guy. Broad daylight. And that is what's going on today, is sin is done in broad daylight. You really don't have to shine it in the dark, so to speak, because it's right there, and it's running down the street. And obviously this guy is a mess, and maybe he doesn't even know that he's naked. And Jesus gave a word to the church in Revelation, the church of Laodicea, because they didn't realize that they were running down the street naked. They thought they were fine. Jesus says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. By the way, both are good. Cold water and hot water are good. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, which isn't good for anything, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. He's writing to the church, Laodicea. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and I have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, in white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. This man running down the street probably had no idea what's going on inside it, what's going on in his world. He's a mess. Does he even know that he's naked? I don't know. But Jesus talked to a church, and they didn't know that they were naked, and they're just running down the street. And they're thinking they're fine. They're thinking they got it all together, that they have need of nothing. You know, what we are called to do as the light, as children of light, we're called to say, hey, you, you're in the dark. Hey, you're naked. You might want to put something on. We're called to speak into the darkness of the culture that we're living in. Not go hide, not go get self-protective, self-preservation. We're called to speak into the culture that is drowning in the darkness. We're called to go and take the light of God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're to go into the dark tunnels and find people in the dark tunnels that don't know they're in the dark. And you know it's not going to be popular. Because you know what it's like when you've been sleeping and somebody shines a light on you, or a light turns on in your room. The kids walk in, you've been sleeping, they turn the light on. What are you doing? You're not going to be popular, but we're not called to be popular. We're called to be light, and sometimes light isn't popular. Jesus came and he shined the light, and the light and the darkness tried to destroy it. The alternative is not to turn a flashlight off. We have to keep shining the light, and don't let the culture intimidate you and bludgeon you with the accusations and the labels. Get used to it. The early church did. Jesus was used to it. We're called to follow in the footsteps of the Master, he who is the light of the world. We're called to be lights in the world. See, ultimately, there's a wake-up call that's the apostle giving, verse 14. Let's read this together. Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now, there's been debate about who's being referred to here. Is he referring to those that are not believers? And there's a call. That's the gospel call. It wakes people up from spiritual death into life, and that could be applied there. But how I see this is that, again, all of this is being spoken to or read to the believers in Ephesus. And so it's a wake-up call to those that don't know they're asleep. They don't know that they're out of tune. To be asleep is to be insensible, unaware. See, sin keeps us from hearing God. And so we could be walking around, but we're really asleep. Our senses are dulled. We're insensible, unaware. Maybe don't even realize that the Holy Spirit has stopped talking to us. By the way, which is like one of the worst places to be in the Christian life. Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. We spent my son and I, and Liam spent a few days with my friend Tom, our friend Tom, and at the Bison Range, and I was thinking of this, and Tom and I have gone on a number of road trips over the years. And there was one, we were driving from Pennsylvania down to North Carolina. And Tom was driving, and it was late. And I don't recommend this. So really, seriously, don't do this. Because Tom was tired and he started to fall asleep at the wheel. And there he is. We've all been there. And I'm kind of sitting there. Well, I'm sitting there and I'm just kind of watching. Kind of thought the nose is off the roll. No, I'm looking around. Okay, we're going straight. So far, so good. And I'm just kind of waiting for the right moment. And so finally, Tom just goes. And I'm looking at Tom and I go, ah! Like I said, don't do that. I wasn't real smart back then. He remained awake for the rest of the trip. The Word of God can be abrupt. The Holy Spirit can be abrupt. Doesn't always work according to our schedules and how we're feeling in a given moment. Because when you see someone going off a cliff and they don't know it, you better get their attention. When your child is running across the street, you better give them an earful. They didn't look both ways. Right? Paul is saying, awake! You don't even know that you're naked. You don't even know that you're, some of you are asleep. What is he doing that for? Because he loves them. Right? Why does that God, why does God do that in our lives? Why do you do that with your kids? I think some of us anyway, from the other, some of us love our kids. Because we love them. The light can be abrupt. It can be harsh, especially when our eyes are not adjusted to the light. The light can be kind of harsh. And it might take a while. But praise God for the light. Praise God for the ways that he has shined the light in our lives. Praise God for the people that he has sent who were lights to us in a dark place. You know, before we can ever effectively shine a light on others, we must let the light shine in us. And Psalm 139 says, "Search me, O God." Will you let God do that? Take his flashlight? Search me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Is there anything off limits in our hearts to God? I mean, he knows what's there. It's kind of like asking Adam, where are you? As if he needed to know where he was. His question had to do with, where are you at in relation to me? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there is any wicked way in me. Is there any perfect people in this room? No, not one. So we all need the searchlight of the Holy Spirit searching us, because you and I are not the best judges of what's going on inside of us, but the Holy Spirit is. And sometimes, again, it reminds me of when Joseph was little, and you know, we get him a new pair of pants, and you know, and he's like 5 or 6, and he put the pants on. Doesn't feel right. He was kind of like a sensitive feeling thing. Yeah, it was, nothing ever felt right, you know. But just doesn't feel right, you know. And mom was like, "No, they fit, but doesn't feel right." You know, sometimes in the Christian life, you don't know what it is, but something just doesn't feel right. Doesn't feel right. There's something off. You know what I'm talking about? You don't necessarily know something very plain and clear yet. There's just something off. Maybe your attitude's off. The way you're viewing life is off. Maybe we just have our temper's a little shorter. Just not, you know, not hitting on all cylinders. It's not, maybe the relationships in the home are just not kind of a little abrasive. You know, something's just not right. Let the light of God shine. The Word of God promises, speaks to us, tells us, it will expose what's hidden. But it lets us at least admit, God, please search me. Because I don't want there to be anything that makes us not right. Right? God is light, and he's in the light, and we have fellowship with him who is in the light. Don't you see? It's all about fellowship in the light. Search my heart, oh God. Let us walk in the light. Listen, there are people in your lives that need light to shine. Your light. He says, you are the light of the world. You're the light. Let's pray. Actually, let's stand with it. Father, you've given us in this section of Scripture, as we've been working through Ephesians, and where the truth of the gospel meets our lives, God, where the rubber meets the road. You've blessed us. It's all grace. We can't earn a thing. We can't make you love us more by living a righteous life. You love us. And yet you would never leave us as we are. And you've given us your Holy Spirit to bring that change, to make us more like Jesus. Forgive us, O God, when we've forgotten that we are light bearers and that we are a part of the kingdom of light, and that light has come to us and chased away the darkness of which we were of. God, would you give us the courage to be light bearers, to children of light, going into the culture, going into the world around us, being ready to speak words of light and live lives of light, because you are light. And we want to be like you. And we want to be used by you. So thank you, God. Thank you for when you shine the light to us the first time. Thank you that that light is still burning brightly today in our lives. And where the church is asleep, and I'm not speaking, just in general, God, wake the church up. And if there's any of us that are asleep in the light, wake us up. Wake us up. That we might be in the light once again. Thank you again. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me close with this scripture and do this. Knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. When? Tomorrow? Next week? Now. And all God's people said,
amen.
Put your hands together. Praise God.